It's almost like creating your life is a luxury in a sense once you have... It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Yeah. It's absolutely a privilege.
I found out by accident a pretty face can pay the rent, but now I've learned a little more. I love the things I can't afford.
So then during these 3 years... Yeah. Was this when you were really, like, building empowered? Or what was happening
what
with
was
you?
I doing?
Teaching group, building empowered. You were still dancing to an extent.
Yeah, yeah. I got a dance coach. I got a coach who, Aurelia, she was amazing. And she
How'd
was,
you find her?
I found her through BDC. We have, like, a mutual friend. And she and I are still friends. And she's, like, one of those people that she's on the journey of. She's an incredible hip-hop dancer, choreographer. She's actually out in LA now. I get texts all the time of, like, when are you coming? That was powerful. For me to feel like I could go back into that world, because I, again, part of who I am is I love dance, and mm-hmm. so I was afraid to go back into that world because people that I had been dancing with, I felt like they continued on the path, yeah. and I didn't, so I felt like, oh, I'm not going to be as good as they think I am, or as I used to be, and most of that was in my head, mm-hmm. but that, I think, was really important for me of just having someone in the world. We met, like, once a week. I did this other program called Elite Team. It was one January. It was just like a 1 month program. You met once a week for, you know, a few hours. And it was part of that just getting back into the world. Because I think I had been out of the dance world for, at that point, at least 8-10 months, something like that. And that was important.
What is this?
It's called Elite Team. I'm trying to remember the company. Creating Opportunities or Creating Ops, I think, is like the parent of what this is. But mm-hmm. it was. I met Aurelia sort of through BDC and through this program, and because I'd started doing one-on-one coaching with her, where we would sort of set small goals of, like, Emily, you're going to take a ballet class this week. And what's crazy is that felt like the hardest thing in the world. That felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready. I need to practice my point and my turnout, and I'm going to suck. But that was important to have someone else being like, no, like, you can do it. Start small. And then I did that Elite Team program, which, being surrounded by fellow ambitious dancers, creative choreographers, that was so helpful of, okay, everyone has their own fears and everyone has their own part of the journey that they're trying to figure out. I think both of those things combined gave me the courage to just be okay with also my own journey. Mm-hmm. I think that was when I was really starting to come to terms with, I can be a dancer and a fitness professional. I was afraid to be one or the other. At the time, I was feeling like, oh, if I said I'm a trainer, that meant I wasn't a dancer. Or if I said, oh, mm-hmm. I'm a dancer, that meant I wasn't a trainer. At that time, like you said, I was doing group and doing a lot of one-on-one training, but through other companies and building empowered one client at a time. Yeah. That was a slow process, but at the same time, the right pace that it needed to be.
When you say a dance coach, like, now, so y'all weren't actually, like, dancing?
Dancing, no. Honestly, it was more of an accountability coach. It was, I had never had a coach before. Like, and now that's
what you do.
But isn't that funny?
Every coach needs a coach.
Absolutely. Of, like, I had never had a coach. I am a coach for other people, and that's actually something that I've grown to love. And that's something that, like, lights me up, of being able to help someone else light that fire within them. And that's what she did for me. So, I mean, I always tell her, like, I'm eternally grateful for what she did for me, because I had lost my fire. I did. Mm-hmm. I was sad, or, like we said, lonely. I just felt like I didn't know where I fit anymore. Mm-hmm. And she danced into my world and made me feel like I could do both. And that was a part of who I am as a whole person, mm-hmm. and not having to label myself one or the other. I have way more, like, confidence and peace with, I am both. I am an entrepreneur. I have a business. I'm also a dancer. I'm also a coach. And I feel like I can be all those things, where at one time I didn't. I felt like claiming one made me not another.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, just in
it's
any...
Hard.
Yeah, because you think, oh, well, I guess I'm not an actor if I'm really doing this. And it's like, no, that's not what that means.
Yeah, and especially, like, as a performer, a lot of us grow up doing this, and so we identify as a dancer forever and ever and ever, and it's hard to let that go. Or it's hard to add to it.
Yeah. For me, it was kind of almost the opposite. I didn't grow up doing it. I grew up secretly wanting to do it and never had the opportunity. Like, And it wasn't until, like, this whole journey in New York that I really developed the confidence to even, like, say out loud, yeah, I'm an actor. Finding that identity was harder for me mm-hmm. versus, like, having it kind of attached to you all along the way and then having to, like, grow and evolve with it.
Yeah. I'm always going to love dance. That's not going to change. But I think it's okay if my relationship with it changes of what I want out of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at one point I wanted to book the job out of it, and that was what it needed to do for me. That's what I expected it to do for me. I was mm-hmm. like, I love this thing and I want it to pay me. And sure, if someone wants to pay me to dance, that's not out of the question. However, that's not where I feel like I want to put my energy. I'm in a place right now where I want to do it because it makes me happy, and I'm okay with not knowing what the outcome is mm-hmm. of when there was a time where I had a very specific outcome that I wanted. If I want to do this audition and then I want to book it and I want to have...
Well, that's the really empowering thing.
Yes, it is.
Is to be like, oh yeah, my paycheck doesn't have to come from that. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
And, you know, doesn't identify.
When you got out of school,
yes.
what was your sort of game plan? Like, were you auditioning?
Wing it!
Reuben Mitchell. I'll never forget it. So Reuben Mitchell, we all know, but he was a teacher I had at LSU. The first acting teacher I ever had. And like, kind of like, opened the floodgates for me. But I'll never forget having a conversation with him once. But he said, there's no plan B because it just distracts from plan A. Which is a cliche, but I never heard it before. And it just made so much sense when he confidently said it. And so for me, there was no plan B. Like, when I rolled the dice and said, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to school. It was like, yeah, like, it's all for nothing at this point. And so what I ended up doing towards the end of school, I always wrote, but I kind of got serious about writing. And I was like, if nothing else, I want to do my own project right out the gate. And then, like, that'll at least be the catalyst to, I don't know what's next. I ended up writing a short film, or short screenplay, I guess, pretty much the last semester of school in developing that. And then it took a year development outside of once I finished school. And then we shot probably about exactly a year after graduation.
And but did y'all shoot that New Orleans?
We shot it in New Orleans, okay. Yeah.
I feel like as an actor, that's like the way to take your work into your own hands. You're like, I'm not sure if there's work. This is guaranteed work for me right now.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was. I mean, I feel like the only opportunities right out of school, I mean, was it Lupita Nyong'o? I think she she won her Oscar first gig out of
school.
That's
a pretty good record.
Yeah, that's
not
exactly the norm.
Yeah.
So that wasn't exactly, those offers weren't on the table, to say the least. You know, it was still scrounging through backstage. And I think there was probably a certain level of frustration with that. And I didn't want to get bitter. I saw that happening a lot. Saw people who felt like they deserved their opportunity because they've put in this type of work or time or commitment. Back to Susan Astin, no one owes you anything. And so for me, it was like, great. So you've got a voice and something to say inside creatively. And I had like a story I wanted to tell. And so I started just putting myself out there in different ways. And for me, that was writing and allowing my writing to be read and critiqued by anyone in my network. So back to like all those student films or like all the people I'd met throughout the journey of like just showing them the script and be like, tear it apart for me. Like, what, how can I get it done? Long story short, like, it forced me to create my own work. And I was like, if nothing else, I'll understand the process that much better. It'll help me as an actor mm-hmm. to know Absolutely. How much a writer put their heart into this, or how much a director like lost years off their life stressing about how the hell this was going to get financed or whatever. And so kind of like Emily's journey, I ended up finding a coach that coached me all the way through it. Mm-hmm. So 3 years of grad school, super committed, intense. We needed like a celebration. So we booked a trip to the Caribbean. We get to JFK and JetBlue's like, yeah, your trip's canceled. Fucking gorgeous outside. Yeah. Weather's gorgeous all the way down. And they're just like, yeah, like, you can leave on the first flight tomorrow. And I think we were going for 3 days. So it was like, this doesn't even... First world problems. But super annoying and disappointing. Because it was like a very big expectation of this trip. So anyway, we get back to the city, put our bags up, and we're like, well,
just like
what
sad,
now?
Moping, you know, just and angry. Sad.
And so then we go get coffee. The barista working the counter is someone she randomly knows from Broadway Dance Center.
Yeah, it's
and
a great place, great people.
Roberto. I never met Roberto before. And, like, we order coffee to stay, because what the fuck else are we going to do? 11 on
you
a Friday.
Yeah,
we had all the time in the world. Roberto ends up taking a break from behind the counter and comes kind of shoot the shit with M. And turns out Roberto is also a life coach. I just graduated from school. I don't know what the hell to do with my life. I was going to go to the Caribbean and figure it out for 3 days, and that just fell through. And so he was like, here's my card, let's talk. And probably for the next 3 or 4 months, I meet with Roberto once a week. And he literally was my accountability to get my film made.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have happened without him. Having someone be like, great, what are you going to do? Like, what do you want to accomplish? And how are you going to do that? Because to me, it was like, oh, I'm going to write a script. I'm going to make a movie. Cool.
Right.
And he's like, great. And he was like, I know nothing about filmmaking, but I know how to, like, set a goal and, like, get the steps to get there. And so literally week by week, I was like, oh, I need a new draft because the last one wasn't good enough according to so-and-so. And like, I think I can get it sharper and I need it to be shorter. Great. It's due by next week. And it's like, I knew very little about putting a crew together. So he's like, what do you need to make a movie? I was like, I don't know. He's like, great. You're going to figure it out by next week. Mm-hmm. And little by little, like, I found a DP, a director of photography, and a producer in New Orleans, and found the location, and like everything came together. But it was like all these little steps that I never would have had the patience for if someone wasn't like on my ass saying, like, just holding me accountable. I'm like, great, good job, what's the next step?
Well, I think that's so important, especially with people like all of us who have our own sort of ventures, and it's not like we work for a company that says this is due next week.
Yes. Exactly. Or,
you know, like, so that having a coach, I mean, that actually makes so much sense.
That was the best thing that Elite Team taught me, was that in that 1 month, I was amazed at how much I actually was able to accomplish, because it stopped being this big lofty goal, and it brought it down to, what are you going to do between this week and next week? Mm-hmm. It just has to be one thing.
Right.
What's your one actionable that's going to happen between now and then that's going to get you closer to whatever that big goal is?
Mm-hmm.
And now that's a key thing that I use with every single person that I coach is, okay, you have your big goal. That's great. You need that. We're going to use that to craft your weekly actionable. Once we craft the weekly actionable, like, don't worry about the big thing. It'll happen in due time.
Because that just gets overwhelming and you know, I can't do that.
The big thing is just the result of all these little things.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so easy just to overlook all the little things because they're...
Especially coming out of grad school where you have, like, somebody holding you accountable.
Mm-hmm. You have deadlines and assignments and,
that lack of structure. I mean, it's really tough for me when I first moved to the city, too.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, God, I've been in school forever.
Yeah, of course.
Somebody's been telling me what to do forever.
Yeah.
And now nobody is.
No one's expecting anything of you, per se,
besides
yourself. And it's so easy to tell yourself, like, oh, it's beautiful outside. Like, I don't need to go do whatever work that it's going to take to get to where I want to be. That was amazing. That was the remarkable thing that, like, really created some new sense of structure post-grad school to get me to where I wanted to go. Because it would have been so easy to just sulk and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just back to where I started. There's no momentum, no progress being made. Having someone else hold me accountable, it felt like, if nothing else, like, I word checked the script from last week. Great. You chipped away at, like, whatever it is you're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of progress too, I mean, I think that's what generates that sense of fulfillment and,
yeah,
and happiness.
And, yeah.
I mean, that's what helped me crawl out of me being sad.
Yeah.
Was feeling like I was actually making progress.
When you have some sense of tangible purpose, it lends itself to, like, feeling more okay with what it is you're doing or maybe not doing at the time.
So what did you do with the film once it was completed?
So the film took forever to complete.
Right.
It was...
Post-production always takes a lot longer than
My God. Yeah. Absolutely. But I was so incredibly lucky. We could spend hours just talking about the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But the team was awesome from start to finish. So we finished, I don't know how many months ago now.
October,
probably
November
is when we finally finished the edit. So December, I submitted to, like, I don't know how many film festivals kind of all over the world. The whole idea is hopefully to show it somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I've submitted strategically throughout the country and a few abroad just for the fun of it. It's a short film. It runs probably just over 15, 16 minutes.
And how many days did y'all shoot?
Two and a half.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Fast.
My crew, the crew was incredible. I can't say it enough. Like,
were they all, like, New Orleans?
They were all
local
New Orleans. We shot a full 2 days, and I always say two and a half because one of the days was just me, the DP, and one of the producers stealing a couple of shots. Just, like, I acted in it, so it was just me. So we were just, like, picking up some shots. And we had scheduled for a 3-day full shoot, and that would have been, like, a comfortable shoot. The DP looking at me, think we can do it in two. And independent films, like, great, that saves a ton of money. Yeah. If you think we can do it in two, cut an entire day of...
So renting a lot of equipment.
Yeah, paying crew and all that. So we did, and I think we shot damn near 30 shots a day, which big budget films might shoot 1 to 3 a day. It was awesome. It was one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done.
Did you have an editor, or did you...
Okay. Yeah, so I worked with an editor in New York. Basically, my production team was all in Louisiana, and then I brought everything back, and all post-production was in New York. So sound, color, and edit was all in New York.
Are you actively auditioning right now? Or
yeah, what? Still in the circuit world, still in the same place trying to figure it out.
Do you want to do another film, or is that...
I would love to.
Yeah.
I think right now I'm writing always, constantly, so there's a couple of different screenplays in development. I founded Y'all Media, which was my production company, and so ultimately I think I would like to continue producing films in the vein of the one I did. So the one I did was called Words, and it's about a guy who's got a stutter but wants to do spoken word poetry. I'm most proud of it because it kind of had, I don't know, I guess like a social awareness to it. I got to meet with a lot of fascinating people in the stuttering community. And it was definitely a topic or an issue of, like, people aren't normally portrayed as, like, intelligent, talented, stuff like that, if they have a stutter in media. And so this film took on a life of, like, almost, like, soldiering that cause of, like, yes, this is, like, a film of someone who's insanely talented, highly articulate and talented and smart, but they have a stutter, and who gives a fuck? And, like, kind of seeing their own battle and internal struggle with that to be able to do what they want to do. I think moving on with Y'all Media, the hope would be able to continue to tell stories that have a focus on some sort of social consciousness or something that's not normally told.
So so when you created Y'all Media, like, is that an LLC or...
Not yet. So right now that's just like, I'll have a production company. So like, it's more of just like, I have a website, and on opening credits, it's produced by Y'all Media.
Right.
But
right.
There was a consciousness when I was making this film and, like, forming, like, what Y'all Media would be.
So
and
maybe
we were able to accomplish it with the first one. So it's like, well, maybe we can do it again.
Yeah, so then maybe it could, I mean, like, in the future, do you imagine it could be a production house that you would produce other people's scripts?
Absolutely. Because for me, I mean, it was more about... When I did this, it was like, I know I have a story to tell. I know I have an axe to grind that I want to have my voice heard. So let's see if I can pull it off. Because I know if I can, all the multitude of my friends who have the same issue of, like, the talent, the ability, it's just the question of how. And through a series of events that we've talked about, I fought through and, like, figured out the how. But I would love to be able to do the same thing and, like, have this production house pull in friends' work as well and help them produce throughout the process.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's like what we were talking about as far as, since we have these endeavors, that it is sometimes just us doing it. This is sort of the beginning-ish stages of Y'all Media. Like, you're
absolutely.
I'm not going to rush to, like, fucking rent a space right now and have a sign in the door. Like, I got to take it day by day and see what this is and what it can be.
Totally. Doing the first was one of the hardest things I've done, but it was amazing. So it's like, okay, I'm pumping the brakes to figure out how I can do the next, but... That's kind of was one of the learning curves of creating my own film, was like, patience, man. It just takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, I made a film that's 16 minutes long, and it probably took a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, and still no one's seen it, because when you submit to festivals, you can't just throw it up on YouTube, because it's ineligible to qualify.
Oh, right.
So it's like, that was
the most
anticlimactic thing, was to, like, all this, like, blood, sweat, and tears of, like, what I created, and then November, like... I'm at my editor's apartment, and we finish, and he looks at me, and he's like, you made a movie, and I'm like, yeah! Now the whole new learning curve is the film festival process and the marketing process.
Then the next one, think of all the stuff that you already know.
Oh, absolutely.
Or the shortcuts, or,
absolutely.
You know. That's great. And so then, Emily, where are you at? Like, what's your focus?
I mean, I feel like right now, it's been figuring out how to have and grow a business. But I feel like our team has grown, so now we're a team of trainers and coaches, and so it's building that community. I think building the brand of Empowered.
Mm-hmm.
I like being an entrepreneur. To me, it's fun. It's creating. It's paving your own way. It's figuring out how to do more of the things that you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, how we can help more people doing that. Looking more big picture, I ultimately want to be able to help more people. Mm-hmm. So if right now we're limited by the person right in front of me, either one-on-one or even a classroom of people, I want to be able to have more of a presence online to be able to mm-hmm. ultimately then help empower more people to be their best. And then I think on a personal note, continue to be my best. I mean, it kind of sounds cheesy when I say it, but it's the truth of putting energy into, I really enjoy taking class, really enjoy taking dance class. So I need to continue making that a priority,
right?
And not judge where I think it may or may not go.
Mm-hmm. And like fuels you in the other parts.
Yes. And so it's interesting because I feel like period of time, I feel like I was only business focused and lacking on the creative side. And now I feel like I'm in this place of wanting to give that more energy mm-hmm. and I feel more me when I do it. Yeah. And it's like, I know I will only make better work and I will only help people. One of the things that served me very well in my life, both as a creative and as an entrepreneur, is taking the pressure off of the outcome and just focusing on what is right in front of me of the actionable. That goal is important, like we talked about. Yeah, you have to have some sense of purpose, of driving force, of knowing where you're going. But that at a time was crippling for me, of knowing where I wanted to be, and I felt so freaking far from where I wanted to be. It was like painful. It was like, why even try? I feel so far. But what flipped for me was when I stopped worrying about the thing that seemed way out there mm-hmm. and worrying about, or not even worrying, but focusing on what's something small that I can do today or this week.
And a side of the same coin is, you sort of touched on this with the people coaching you and holding you accountable, like celebrating a tiny accomplishment.
That was like huge. That. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that was a major mental shift and a perspective shift mm-hmm. of that one email that I mm-hmm. sent. The next step couldn't happen until I sent that one email. So I needed to celebrate and acknowledge that one email.
Allow yourself to enjoy getting something done.
Yes. I'm such a nerd. I'm going to have like goosebumps all over my body right now. But that's how strongly I feel about that and mm-hmm. what an epiphany that was for me.
Better figure out a way to celebrate the journey or else you don't stand a chance.
I think my hack this week will be bouncing off of something that you said uh-huh. as far as actors writing their own opportunities.
Yeah.
I talk to so many frustrated actors, just friends, clients, whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's such an industry where sometimes you feel so powerless. And I think that that is the way to gain power is to write things for yourself and create your own opportunities.
That's it.
So empowerednyc.com. We are, like I said, all about helping people kick ass at life. That is what we do. So we focus on fitness as the foundation to being your best. I started that. I'm heading that. And I also started NYC Fit Week, which will be happening in the fall of this year, which is where we get the fitness community together in New York City and we raise money for local and global education through fitness classes.
Cool.
So that will be in the fall and this will be our third year doing that.
And how do people find out more information?
NYCFitWeek.com. We have at least the initial information there and then on Facebook and Twitter, NYC Fit Week. And then same thing, Empowered NYC, being Instagram and Twitter and all the above.
You're at the Fitting Room.
I'm at a place called the Fitting Room. Yeah, I'm on the 19th Street location on Tuesday and Friday mornings. It is a wonderful, happy place.
And Andy, you're at Swerve,
I'm
right?
at Swerve, a cycling studio on 18th Street, just south of the Fitting Room. Yeah. And so we didn't even talk about that, but that's another part of my identity, I guess, is my involvings in the fitness world and Empowered and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because you are
dynamic humans,
with,
man.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on with all of us. But yeah, that's the other side. So I teach cycling at Swerve and also train with Empowered.
Does your movie have a website?
Yallmedia.com.
Okay,
you
yallmedia.com.
You can go in. There's probably nothing relevant. Just a poster that says, like, stay tuned.
Does the film have a Facebook?
Facebook. Or actorandyphillips.com.
If you want to see my short writings and photos of the world, at M. Cook Harris, where I like to travel. And we're putting up more free fitness content on mm-hmm. Empowered NYC, which is something that I'm passionate about, wanting to make fitness more accessible. I feel like
I also think that that's a very easy excuse for people. Just, you know, it's like, well, I can't afford to do that, so I'm not going to do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you present the opportunity where you're like, look,
but here it is, and it's free, and it's easy to find, or mm-hmm. all of those things. Yeah. And it's coming from someone in a source that I trust, because I feel like that's a whole nother thing of, you can Google all kind of stuff, but you don't know what you don't trust.
You have started your business,
yeah.
and then you pulled on other trainers into your business as well.
Yep.
And they're working under your brand. Yep. And so you're ultimately responsible for the product that they're delivering.
Yes.
How do you communicate with your team to make sure that they're all on the same page?
Great question. Yeah. I feel like it starts from just finding the right people. Uh-huh. Because the energy of the individual and the outlook of the individual has to match the energy of what we are and what we're about. Mm-hmm. So we're not about the scale. We're not about the six pack. I mean, those things can happen as a result, but mm-hmm. I feel like having an individual or a trainer that also sees the way that I see, because they are an extension of me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the growth of the team happened very organically, and as my schedule filled up, it was, oh, I'm going to need someone else to help. Okay, so who do I know in the industry that I like, that I trust, and, you know, reaching out to that one person. At that time, that was Nikki. Nikki's still on our team, and it was me and Nikki for mm-hmm. a really long time. Yeah. And then the schedule continued to grow, and it was, okay, I think, you know, I'm full, Nikki's full, we might need another trainer. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, again, reaching out to someone in the world that I know or, you know, had come across or whatever. You know, honestly, just the beautiful way of you meet people or you, right. you know.
It's and, a full circle network that always, like, it always somehow starts to make sense.
Yeah.
But, it's, yeah, everybody who's joined the team has had that energy, that connection with what it is we're trying to do with the brand.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's, like, first it's finding the right person,
yeah,
because then once it's the right person, it's easier,
yeah,
because then we can just talk about the specifics of
right.
okay, what is the workout actually looking like,
mm-hmm.
what should it feel
and
like,
is
what
is
the story,
yeah,
exactly,
yeah,
what is
yeah.
the beginning, the middle, and the end of each session, so
mm-hmm.
then
right.
I can then I get to be a teacher, which is fun for me, then I get
right.
to say, here's what I've learned in my 7 years of doing this in New York and 2 years and, you know, 4 years in school or whatever, doing this before.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I've learned that works. Here's what I've learned that doesn't work. Like,
mm-hmm.
And each person brings their own individual
yeah.
personality and take to it, which I think is better. I mean, I think it's a better, the student, the client gets a better experience if they've got two people working on, you know, on their program, working to help them rather than just one brain.
Right.
But yeah. It's like building the team. That's been, again, something that I didn't know how to do until you're forced to figure it out.
Right.
Because now, and I trust everyone on our team so much that I know that if some new client comes in, I can't see them, whatever. I know with 100% certainty if I send out someone from our team, they're going to be great. A huge part of Empowered of what we do is we donate 10% of our net proceeds to girls' education, specifically a nonprofit based out of New York called She's the First. And so they connect with nonprofits all over the world to sponsor girls' education for girls that otherwise wouldn't be given the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
Based on maybe culture of, you know, the country that they're in or, you know, finances or whatever. A lot of times in some of those developing nations, if there's, let's say, a brother and a sister and there's limited funds, the brother, the son is going to get to go to school and the girl is most likely going to have to stay home or work or be married off. And I feel like that sucks and that's not fair.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I've been given the gift of being born here. I didn't get to choose this the same way that someone that was born elsewhere. She didn't get to choose that either. And I don't know at what point that, like, clicked for me,
mm-hmm.
but it was the moment of, I mean, I read this book, Half the Sky, which I think further solidified that concept of I am here by no fault or blessing of my own, and someone else is somewhere else having a completely different experience, and I want to do something about that. Education was always so important in my family. Of there were times when finances were lacking, but that was always at the forefront of,
mm-hmm.
but education comes first.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's a teacher, and, like, both of my parents have higher education. It was like this, education was always something that very much shaped who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in other places, if they would just be given the opportunity, who knows what they could create for their own lives. I mean, I feel like I often say, like, create your life. That's something that I say, but you have to, in a sense, be given the opportunity,
yeah.
even. So, yeah, I mean, we've been donating to education from the very beginning that Empowered was founded. It was something that was so important to me. I wanted to have some sort of philanthropic connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but wait, what if I do the thing that I really like to do, which is fitness and helping people, but let that be the thing that also does good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we baked it into the business model, into our core mission. I can do fitness and raise money for girls' education. You came to my first recess class.
Yes, I did.
A recess class in Central Park. So I started this playground-inspired boot camp called Recess. Mm-hmm. It's like silly and games.
Yeah, did we dress up?
Yes. Yeah. So okay. Part of the one girl campaign or marketing was, it was called Do It in a Dress. So you had to do some sort of, whatever you were going to do, we did a fitness class, but you had to do it in a school dress. And so, I mean, we had grown men in dresses of raising money. And that was, you know, I think we raised $250 for girls in 1 hour. And I was like, okay, well, there's something to this. Then I think a year later, I taught a bigger recess class and we raised $1,000. And then that was what continued the idea of, okay, how can I make this bigger? And that's how Fit Week was born. Mm-hmm. Because it was, okay, I'm teaching this one class. This is good. We raised a lot of money, but it still has a very specific cap. I'm only one person. I can only fit so many people in a room. But what if I taught one class, and you taught a class, and you taught a class, and everybody teaches a class? But then it's true. But that was like, people have good hearts. They want to help. You have to give them an opportunity to be involved, mm-hmm. and they will rise to the occasion.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, so She's the First has been our partner for the past, I think, 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah. And they've been amazing. I mean, it's a small team of just passionate, smart women that are doing great things for the world.
Yeah. It's been fun to watch everybody grow together.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about staying power, kind of what we talked about earlier. Just stick around long enough.
Yeah.
And yes. It's kind of fun. Like, the same network kind of, like, expands together.
I lose count at this point. The last count through She's the First, we had 17 students that we sponsored. That's not even including our most recent donation that we made for 2015. So, I mean, I imagine we're up to over 20 students at this point.
And that's
just through She's the First. Like, yeah. As an empowered community, through the other organizations, we sponsored over 50 students.
I'm going to start crying like a baby.
Yeah.
Y'all, this is so great. Just felt all kinds of emotions.
All the feels.
Everyone, you've been listening to Sweet Soubrette's All That Glitters from the album Days and Nights. If everyone could go to the website, www.classactorhack.com, shoot us an email, actorhackpodcast@gmail.com.
You should subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review. And you should like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.
Well, and thank y'all for listening. And thank y'all for being here.
Thank
you. Of course. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
If anything, my mother will listen to it.